Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue that which we have been discussing with regards to awqat and nahi and the times that it is impermissible to pray, the times that there has been a prohibition mentioned with regards to them, prohibition from prayer. And we have seen that there are three times in general and five specifically. And we have seen likewise in the previous class that what is intended from the prayer that is prohibited, it is the non-obligatory prayer. As for the obligatory prayer, then the one who forgot it, for example, and he had to make it up, then he can make it up even in these prohibited times. And what is intended here, la salata, and the narration that has come from Abi Sa'id, la salata ba'da subh wa la salata ba'da al-asr, until the end of the hadith. And likewise naha an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an as-salati ba'da subh, and then likewise ba'da al-asr, and the hadith has proceeded. We have seen that what is intended by as-salat, meaning the non-obligatory salat, salat al-nafila, as-salat al-nafila. We have seen that also what is intended from the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he said that there is no prayer after the morning, after subh, or ba'da al-fajr, and likewise ba'da al-asr. We have seen that has been clarified in one of the wordings by an Imam Muslim, ba'da salati subh wa ba'da salati al-asr, that what is intended is the prayer. So therefore, it is understood from this that the time of prohibition is not from the rising of the Fajr, but rather after the Fajr prayer has been performed. La salata ba'da salati al-fajr. So this wording here clarifies that issue. Walhamdulillah. This wording here, it clarifies that issue. So therefore, in the morning time, the time whenever it becomes impermissible to pray the non-obligatory prayer, to make al-nawafil, salawat al-nafila, is after the obligatory prayer has been performed. After the obligatory prayer has been performed. Likewise, the same understanding is with regards to the prohibition after asr. It's not after the coming of the asr time, but rather after the asr prayer has been performed. So therefore, it begins with regards to the individual who has prayed that prayer. So therefore, there could be two individuals. One of them did not pray the Fajr yet, for whatever the reason may be, and the other one, he has prayed it. It had become impermissible for the second one, while it's still permissible for the first one. And the time of impermissibility has not entered for the first one, or for the second one yet, the one that he did not pray the Fajr. So therefore, after the Fajr prayer has been established for that individual who has established that Fajr prayer, now the time of prohibition begins for him. The time of prohibition begins for that individual. Same thing with regards to the Asr prayer. We see likewise that these times there are times that are vast or wide, or times that are long, and other times they are more tight and restricted. And those times that are restricted, or those times that are shorter, they are, the prohibition is more severe and more stern. And so therefore we see that these five times are in detail from after the Fajr prayer until the sun begins to rise, known as Shuruq al-Shams, Shuruq al-Shams. So from after the Fajr prayer is established until the sun rises, this is a time of prohibition. It's not permissible to pray. And then whenever this time is a long time, a long period compared to the period after it, and that is at whenever the sun begins to rise and it actually hits the horizon, and the sunrise begins, from that period until the sun rises above the horizon, about the amount of a meter, according to the narration, qid al-rumah, the amount of a spear. And we have seen some of the details with regards to that. At this time, this is the second prohibition, and the prohibition is severe here. And that has been what has been mentioned about that, is that that is the time that the kuffar, they prostrate to the sun. In reality, they're prostrating to shaitan. And the third time is whenever the sun, just before the dhuhr time, whenever it peaks into the zenith and it stops to move, before it starts to make its its descent into the west, and for the Maghrib, whenever it comes to the middle of the sky, it'll stop for a moment. So at that moment and or at that time, it's impermissible. Whenever the sun is in the middle of the sky above the heads of the people directly, at that time, just before the Dhuhr enters, likewise, this is a prohibited time. And the prohibition here, likewise, is stern. And it's been mentioned that this is the time that the hellfire is set ablaze at that time. Iyadhin billah. Iyadhin billah. So therefore, the prohibition at this time, likewise, is stern. Is stern. And the fourth prohibited time is after the Asr prayer has been performed for that individual who performed the Asr prayer, all the way until the sun begins to set. And all the way until the sun begins setting, meaning whenever the sun, the lower part of the disk of the sun touches the horizon. At this time, now the prohibition becomes stern. And that's the fifth time. And that's the fifth time. Until it goes behind the horizon entirely. And this period, likewise, is much shorter than the period before it. And the prohibition at this time, likewise, is very stern and severe. And likewise, it's been mentioned that the shaitan, the people, the kuffar, they worship the sun and prostrate before it at that time as well. And in reality, they're worshiping shaitan. So these are the prohibited times that have been mentioned in the text that we have studied in our previous class, from the hadith of Umar, and likewise from the hadith of Abi Sa'id, and likewise we read the hadith of Uqba ibn Amr, and likewise we read some of the hadith of Amr ibn Abasa radiyallahu anhum jami'an. And these are the these narrations, and other than them, they clarify these times in the detail that has been mentioned. Now we discuss some issues with regards to these times and that which is exempted from that ruling, meaning that there are some situations whenever it's permissible to pray even in those times. And this is based upon the evidences that have come. And it has been narrated from Yazid ibn al-Aswad, radiyallahu anhu, that he was a young boy, and he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fajr. He prayed fajr with the Prophet. In some of the narrations it has come that it was in the Hajj of the Prophet, in Mina, in Masjid al-Khayf. Naam, that he prayed fajr with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjat al-Wada', and they're praying in Mina. And he is narrating this story, radiyallahu anhu, wa huwa ghunamun shab. And he's a young boy, Yazid ibn al-Aswad, radiyallahu anhu. He said, فَلَمَّا صَلَّ إِذَا رَجُلَانِ لَمْ يُصَلِّيَا فِي نَاحِيَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ. So after the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed that morning prayer, the Fajr prayer. This is important to notice likewise. Which prayer was it? Huh? Salat al-Fajr. There were two men who did not pray along with them. There are two men who did not pray along with them, and they're in the corner of the masjid. فَدَعَ بِهِمَا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called for them. And the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they just prayed the Fajr prayer, the obligatory prayer. In the corner of the masjid, there are two men. They did not pray with them. They did not pray. They sat there and they watched the Muslims pray the obligatory prayer, and they did not pray. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for them. فَجِئَ بِهِمَا تُرْعَدُ فَرَائِسُهُمَا. It's mentioned that they were brought and their shoulders are shaking. The part of their shoulder, between their neck and their shoulder bone, this part right here is shaking out of fear. They're afraid. They're being brought. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for them. فَقَالَ مَا مَنَعَكُمْ. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مَا مَنَعَكُمَا أَن تُصَلِّيَا مَعَنَا. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what prohibited the two of you from praying with us? What prohibited the two of you from praying with us? Qala, they both said, qad sallayna fi riharina. Verily, we had prayed in our homes or in our campsite, in our tents. We had prayed in our dwellings. Faqala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani they had clarified their issue, that they have already prayed the Fajr prayer, so they did not want to pray it again. Naam, so he says, لَا تَفْعَلَا إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي رَحْلِهِ ثُمَّ أَدْرَكَ الْإِمَامَ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ فَلْيُصَلِّ مَعَهُ فَإِنَّهَا لَهُ نَافِلَةً. He said, do not do that. He told them both, لَا تَفْعَلَا, do not do that. If one of you prayed in his home And then he came and he found an imam who did not pray yet. Then you must pray along with him, and that prayer will be considered nafila for you, meaning non-obligatory, So here we have the situation after Fajr, and there's a prohibition for praying after Fajr. After the one who already prayed the Fajr prayer, this individual, he's prohibited from praying. But this is an exception to that situation, and that is what the ulama, they call iyadatu al-jama'ah. Iyadatu al-jama'ah, to pray the congregational prayer again. So therefore, if an individual is traveling, or if an individual is ever in a situation where he prayed already the prayer, for example, Fajr, or he already prayed the Asr, he prayed it because he's traveling, or for whatever reason may be, maybe he prayed in one masjid and then he went to another masjid for a class and he found them establishing the same salat that he already prayed. He should not sit behind and he should not wait behind, but rather what should he do? He should join them. Somebody might say, but the Prophet prohibited from praying after Fajr or after Asr for those who already prayed the obligatory prayer. La salata ba'da salat al-Asr. La salata ba'da salat al-Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, we say, Nam, that's correct, but there is an exception found in the Sunnah. There is an exception found in the Sunnah, and this narration is authentic, and it's collected by Abi Dawood and Nasa'i, and likewise at Darimi and Imam Ahmed. And the likes, and it's authentic narration that this occurred, and these two men, they came to the congregational prayer where the Muslims are in congregation and establishing the obligatory prayer, that they should not fall behind. In this situation, it's allowed for them, even if they already prayed, even if it's in the prohibited time. So this is one situation. The first situation, when it's permissible to pray. The situation that is mustathna, نعم المسألة مستثنات يعني يستثنى من هذا النهي عيادة الجماعة to re-pray or to pray again the congregational prayer. Somebody who already prayed that obligatory prayer and then he came to a congregation who was praying the same prayer he already prayed, even if it's in the time of prohibition, for him he prays. It's allowed for him to pray. Walillahi alhamd. Walillahi alhamd. Naam. Likewise, from the evidences that have come to clarify the exceptions with regards to praying in this prohibited time, what has been mentioned about rak'ata al-fajr, the two sunnah of fajr. Likewise, for the one who missed the sunnah of the fajr, and the one who normally he prays the sunnah of fajr daily, and then some day or one day he missed the time, he was not able to pray the two rak'ah, which is sunnah before the obligatory prayer of fajr, then it's allowed for him to pray those two sunnah after he prays the obligatory prayer, even before the sun rises. And this has been narrated from Qais ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu. He said, رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا يصلي بعد صلاة الصبح ركعتين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the Messenger of Allah, he saw a man praying after the Fajr prayer, after the morning prayer, ركعتين, two rak'ah. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح ركعتان. The Prophet told him, he said that the prayer, the morning prayer, is only two rak'ah. Yani, why are you praying more? The prayer of Fajr is only two rak'ah. Like this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is mentioning to the man. فقال الرجل فصليتهما الآن فقال الرجل إني لم أكن صليت الركعتين اللتين قبلهما فصليتهما الآن فسكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, but verily I did not pray the two rak'ah that's before Fajr, so now I'm praying them. I didn't pray the two rak'ah before Fajr, so I'm praying them now. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was silent about that and he didn't say anything else. And he affirmed that. And this is known في مصطلح حديث as حديث التقريري, إقرار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أمرنا وعلى فعل وعلى قول. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he affirmed him upon that. So this is an indication that this is permissible and this is allowed. So this is a situation likewise, even after the Fajr prayer, has been established, and before the sun has risen in the manner which has been mentioned, it's allowed for this situation of the one who did not pray the two sunnah of Fajr to make them up at that time. It's allowed for him. It's also allowed for him to make it up after the Ishraq and after the sun has risen properly in the time of Dhuha. It's also allowed for him to make those two sunnah up at that time. Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, he used to advise to make it up after Fajr immediately, because maybe someone could become preoccupied and forget to make them up. Naam, like this. But although it's allowed to make them up, it's not something that somebody should take as a way, and every single day they make them up. But rather, this is something that is allowed, and it's permissible if a person found himself in that situation. But we should not delay them daily and make them up daily and become a habit like this, because this is going beyond the limits, and this is yani misunderstanding the evidences, and it's not something that it's a sunnah for someone to do, to make it up every single day. But rather, for the one who this occurs to him, if it occurred to him that he missed it, then he makes it up. But we should not become accustomed to missing it and making it up. Then it becomes the way of a person to pray those two rak'ah after the obligatory prayer. And this is not from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, another situation, whenever it is allowed to pray in the prohibited times, and this one is in general, in any of the prohibited times, is that what the ulama, they mention rak'atah al-tawaf, the two rak'ah of tawaf. Whenever a person, he makes tawaf, sabata ashwat, he goes around the Kaaba seven times. After that, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray two rak'ah. Khalifa maqam Ibrahim, wa takhidhu maqama Ibrahima musalla. Musalla. So it's been narrated from Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ya Bani Abd Manaf, la tamna'u ahadan tafa bihadha albayti aw salla ayyata sa'atin min laylin aw nahar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, O tribe of Abd Manaf, do not prohibit anyone from making tawaf around this house or praying at this house at any time from the day and from the night. At any time from the day and from the night. Some of the ulama, they mention a general ruling, any time for praying for any reason, but many of the scholars, they mention that this is in reference to the two rak'ah of at tawaf. So if a person, he prayed Fajr, if he was in Mecca, may Allah allow us to visit his house in Iman and health. If a man or if a Muslim prayed Fajr in Mecca, and then after that he wanted to make tawaf, he could make tawaf after Fajr before the sun rises entirely. After he prays the Fajr, after that he want to make tawaf. If he made tawaf after that, he can make two rak'ah even before the sun rises after the Fajr prayer, alhamdulillah. Or if he prayed the Asr prayer, for example. If he prayed the Asr prayer, for example, and then after the Asr prayer, he wants to make tawaf. He made tawaf after Asr prayer. Whenever he makes the seventh turn around the Kaaba, he will go behind Maqam Ibrahim and he'll pray to Raka. Wala haraj. Naam, and there's no blame and no hardship upon him for that. So these are three issues that have been mentioned in the text that have come clearly. The exceptions have been mentioned clearly in the evidences. Likewise, there is a fourth issue, and this is what is known as al-nawafil dhawat al-asbab. Al-nawafil dhawat al-asbab. They are the non-obligatory prayers that have reasons. They have non-obligatory prayers, but there are reasons for them. So from the non-obligatory prayer, there is like what is called al-nafila or al-nafil al-mutlaq. Al-mutlaq, it's non-obligatory, and a person, he performs it without any reason whatsoever, any specific reason. The reason for the prayer is not attached to a specific time or place, and the likes like this. A person, he just wants to pray. This is called a nafil al-mutlaq, and this is allowed for a believer. If he wants to stand and pray, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's allowed to, except in these prohibited times. But with regards to the other type of nafil, nawafil al-dhawat al-asbab, the non-obligatory prayers that have reasons, then the ulama, they differed about this, but the madhab of al-imam al-shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that it's permissible to pray them in the prohibited times. And many of the ulama have taken that opinion. And the majority of the scholars, they differ. But Imam Shafi'i, he mentioned that the prayers that have reasons, then it's permissible to pray them even in the prohibited times. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned the same position, and the ulama of our days, they mentioned the same position. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, and Shaykh Ibn Baz, and Shaykh al-Sa'di, and the scholars of our days, they have mentioned the same ruling and the position of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is because of the general evidences that have come with regards to the non-obligatory prayers that have reasons. For example, Tahiyyatul Masjid. It has come from the hadith of Abi Qatadah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلِيصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ. That if one of you enters the masjid, he should pray 2 rak'ah before he sits. He should pray 2 rak'ah before he sits. This is a command, and it's general. And likewise, the ulama, they mention as well, from the prayers that have reasons, non-obligatory prayers that have reasons. For example, al-istikhara, or rak'ata al-wudu, the 2 rak'ah for the one who made wudu. Likewise, these are prayers, they have a reason. So a person, he is not standing to pray in these prohibited times for no reason. Rather, the purpose of his prayer is valid and is legislated. So therefore, we see here, based upon this, the one who comes into the masjid, for example, we speak about tahiyyat al-masjid, because this is one that is very common. That the situation occurs a lot to the brothers, especially if one of them comes into the masjid after, in the prohibited time, it's allowed for him to pray tahiyyat al-masjid wala haraj. If he came into the masjid after he already prayed the obligatory prayer of fajr, or if after he prayed the obligatory prayer of asr, and then he came to the masjid, when he enters the masjid before he sits down, he will pray 2 rak'ah. He will pray 2 rak'ah. Before he sits down, he'll pray 2 rak'ah, even if it's in the prohibited time. And this is the situation. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a benefit, and that's with regards to this issue here of tahiyyat al-masjid fi awqat al-nahi. And that is that a person, as I mentioned, if he comes in those prohibited times, he'll pray before he sits down 2 rak'ah. Except in the case if he comes in while the prohibition is stern. Remember that from those 5 times, three of those times, there's a stern prohibition. And in the morning time, that is whenever the sun is beginning to rise until it completes its rising above the horizon. Qid al-rumah. So if a person came into the masjid at that time, it's preferred for him to wait for the sun to rise, because at that time the prohibition is stern. Likewise, if an individual came into the masjid before dhuhr, maybe 5 minutes before dhuhr, for example, it's better for him to not pray tahiyyat al-masjid, rather to stand and to wait for the adhan, and after that to pray, because at that time the prohibition is stern. So although it's allowed to pray in the prohibited times, any what is intended by that, or what is the best position with regards to that, in the times that are wide, the times that are long. As for the short times, when the prohibition is stern, it's better to not pray at that time. Again, if somebody came into the masjid after Asr, then he will pray 2 rak'ah, alhamdulillah, and there's no problem, and the prohibition does not include him, because his salat has a reason. He has a reason. So he's not intending to pray in that prohibited time, but rather it has a reason entering the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you enters the masjid, then let him pray 2 rak'ah before he sits down. As for if he came in whenever the sun is setting, at the time when the actual sun is setting, 5-7 minutes or so before the adhan of Maghrib, whenever the sun is actually falling behind the horizon, at this time it's better for him to not pray. It's better for him to wait. And so these 3 times, it's better to wait. And these times are very short. So it's better for him to wait that short period and pray after the stern prohibition, or the time of the stern prohibition has been removed and goes away. So these are some of the rulings that the ulama, they mentioned with regards to awqat al-nahi. There's another issue that is important to discuss with regards to these times, and this is after Fajr. But now whenever we speak about after Fajr, we're speaking about after the adhan of Fajr. We have seen that the prohibition, it begins the prohibited time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the salati ba'da as-subh. Wa la salati ba'da as-subh. Aw la salati ba'da salati as-subh. Any of these narrations have preceded, and this is the evidence is for the subject that we're discussing. But now we discuss the issue of after the rising of the Fajr, before the establishment of the obligatory prayer. What is allowed here? Is this the prohibited time? La, it's not the prohibited time. But it's still not the time for an-nafl al-mutlaq. It's still not the time for an-nafl al-mutlaq, just to pray. To pray. What is legislated to pray at that time after the rising of the Fajr, before the establishment of the obligatory prayer of Fajr, it's only legislated to pray two rak'ah. It's only legislated to pray two rak'ah. Rak'atan al-Fajr. Rak'atan al-Fajr. The two sunnah of Fajr. Naam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned this, and it's narrated from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la salata ba'da al-fajri illa sajdatain, that there is no prayer after Fajr, any the rising of the Fajr, except for two sajda, yani two rak'ah, meaning two rak'ah. Naam, and there's no prayer after Fajr, except for sajdatain. This narration is collected by Abu Dawood and likewise at Tirmidhi. Al Imam Tirmidhi, he mentioned this narration a benefit. And he mentioned that this is something that the ulama have agreed upon, and that they dislike for a person to pray after the rising of the sun more than rakatain, more than two rak'ah, the two rak'ah of the sunnah of Fajr. And he said that the meaning of this hadith, وَمَعْنَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ إِنَّمَا يَكُونَ لَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ تُلُؤِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَّا رَكَتَيْ الْفَجْرِ. And the meaning of that hadith is that there is no prayer after the rising of the Fajr except for the two sunnah of Fajr. Except for the two sunnah of Fajr. So therefore, a believer, he will not pray many sunnah, and or pray nafila, a salat al nafila after the rising of the Fajr. Rather, he'll only pray two rak'ah for the sunnah, and then he'll pray the obligatory prayer of sunnah. So this is a mistake some people fall into. They come to the masjid, for example, and then they pray tahiyat al-masjid, and then after that they pray two rak'ah sunnah. So they're praying four rak'ah. But rather, if a person, he came to the masjid for the Fajr, then he will intend by whenever he comes in, he will intend to pray tahiyat al-masjid and the two sunnah of Fajr at the same time. At the same time, he'll pray two rak'ah. As for the case of an individual, if he prayed two rak'ah of sunnah at his home, and then he came to the masjid, and then it's allowed for him to pray the tahiyyat al-masjid, and there's no blame, because now he's praying for the reason of tahiyyat al-masjid. Although some of the ulama, they have mentioned that this is with regards to the imam. For the sunnah of Fajr, the imam, he is the one who prays in his home, and then he comes to the masjid. As for the ma'mumun, then they will not pray at home, rather they will hasten to come to the masjid. They will hasten to come to the masjid to be in the front rows and the likes like this at the time of Fajr, and they will pray the sunnah in the masjid. This is something that some of the ulama have mentioned, and this is a benefit, walhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the Fajr has risen, he will not pray except two rak'ah. And this likewise is narrated from his wife Hafsa bint Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana idha tala al-fajr la yusalli illa rak'atayn khafifatayn, that the Prophet, if the Fajr had risen, he would not pray except for two rak'ah that are light, two light rak'ah. So this is another issue of the sunnah of Fajr likewise, it's their light. And the author, he has a chapter with regards to al-rawatib. We will discuss them, inshallah, in detail whenever we get to that chapter. But here, with regards to this issue, we see that it's not allowed to pray more than that. It's not allowed to pray more than that. To come and to pray sunnah after sunnah after sunnah, waiting for the Fajr to be established, or before the obligatory prayer of Fajr. But rather he only prays two rak'ah. And this is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and following the legislation of Allah azza wa jal. We see that in these narrations, they have many benefits, walillah alhamd. And from them, also additional to that which has mentioned any specifically with the times, is that we see that Ibn Abbas, he's praising Umar. And he is saying, and he mentioned, as we've seen in one narration, that Omar, that he's narrating this narration on many, many different men. All of them are pleasing. All of them are upright. And the most pleasing of them to him is Umar. The one wording, and the most beloved of them to him is Umar. And this is a refutation of the Rafila. Of the Rafila, those who claim that they love the household of the Prophet, and that the household of the Prophet is free from Abu Bakr and Umar. Well, here we have the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Now the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarifying that the most beloved of the people that he knows who narrated this narration is Umar. Is Umar. So we should not be deceived by those filthy individuals who seek to hide behind a false claim of loving the family of the Prophet. They don't love the family of the Prophet. They don't love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kadhabun. And they love to commit shirk, and they love to call on graves. This is what they love to do. May Allah guide them. May Allah guide them and protect the Muslims from their evil. So in any case, it's a clear refutation of that situation. And likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration is that whenever a person, he narrates on more than one individual, this brings strength to the narration. He's mentioning here that he heard this from many different people. And likewise, whenever a person, he's more steadfast and upright, and he's more well known for piety, likewise, whenever one is narrating his statement as well, we see that it has value, and it has strength, and has quwwah. Now, because of either the number of the individuals, or likewise because of the attributes of that person, that he's upright and strong, and it is upright and strong, narrating here on Umar, radiyallahu anhu. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, we see that great foundation of the Sharia, and that is to be different from the disbelievers, especially in creed and belief, especially in act of worships, and also even in their customs, to be different from them, to not be like them. And the Salat, even though it's a great act of worship, it's prohibited at those times, because those two times, whenever the sun is rising and whenever the sun is setting, that's the time that the Kuffar, they worship the sun. So we have been prohibited to imitate them and to be like them and to worship at that time, even though the believers, they're worshiping Allah and they're worshiping the creator of the sun. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ لَيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. The Muslims, they don't prostrate to the sun nor to the moon. وَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Rather, the Muslims, they prostrate to Allah. But because the kuffar, they likewise prostrate at that time, then the Muslim is prohibited from prostrating at that time. And one of the wisdoms behind that is to resemble هؤلاء الكفار. Is the prohibition of resembling the disbelievers. And whenever the Muslims, they seek to resemble the disbelievers, it brings weakness in their ranks, and it brings weakness to the deen, it brings weakness to the da'wah, and it brings weakness to their hearts. And if a person, he wants to find izzah, and if he wants to find might, then let him follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.